Hi, this is Chioma from Advancement Project. I'm here with the Director of Litigation, Gilda Daniels, and we're talking about the current status of voter suppression and voter restrictive procedures in the United States. Good afternoon.
Good. Thank you.
So just to get right into it, so voter suppression is not a new phenomenon. In your words, in what ways has communities of color been affected by voter suppression?
First of all, thank you, Chioma, for having me today. I'm really excited about participating in this process. I think it's important to look at voter suppression in the United States from a historical viewpoint so that we can then see how we continue to see these patterns, not only throughout our history, but contemporaneously as well. Historically, the vote was reserved for white male property owners. Right. In the initiation of this country, you did not even have to be a citizen to vote. Merely if you owned property and you were white and you were a man, then you could vote. We know there was a civil war. We had the Civil War Amendments, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, which created the franchise and expanded the franchise for African American men. Right, so men at that point were, then you had black men who were able to actually vote. We saw a less than 10-year period where we could see what democracy really looks like. And again, at that time, women still could not vote, but when we saw the franchise open, we saw remarkable events, particularly in this country after the Civil War and during the period of Reconstruction. And during Reconstruction, we had more African Americans in the Congress, in the House and the Senate, than we even do today. And that was because the access to the ballot was wide open, right? And they allowed for the registration of newly enfranchised people to register and to vote. And so we had, you know, people on all levels, on school boards, on other local capacities, on the state level, and even Congress. And seeing this, particularly in the South, is when we began to see certainly widespread voter suppression. Things like grandfather clauses, poll taxes, literacy tests, even felon disenfranchisement were ways in which they developed these laws for the sole purpose of stopping the access to the ballot on behalf of African Americans. And it was very, very, very effective. So you had widespread voter registration after these laws were passed in places like Louisiana. You go from, you know, 70 to 80% of registration to, after these laws are passed, to less than 5% of voter registration. So suppression was real, it was violent. People were killed, people were threatened. There was certainly economic threats where you would lose your job for if you registered. And at that time, if you voted Republican, right, you could lose your job, you could lose your home.
So as much as you can, I would like for you to imagine a world free from voter suppression and restrictive voting practices. What does that vision look like? What does that vision of free and safe look like to you?
A free and safe looks to me like a place where very few restrictions on the right to vote. Certainly, I think also that there's an interest in elections other than the presidential election. That there's an interest on the local level with school boards and county councilmen and those kinds of things. Those are the people that you're interfacing with on a more regular basis than the President of the United States, and I think it's very important to have people involved in that area, and that people actually run for office, right? And that we get involved in our own representation and our own governance.